101.5 WMFO in Medford. Yes, and that's Al Schmel and his pal with Happy the Clown. Thrill 69. Oh, my favorite number, huh? 91.5 WMFO in Medford. The spec is coming up with Sam. Who do we got here? Isaac. Isaac will be joining Sam. Stick around. Until next time, see ya!
This is The Spec, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Spec on your fine Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. It's finally spring-ish, sort of outside, except it's really windy and disgusting out today. But you know what? Spring is coming, and I'm here with a very good friend today.
Hello.
I'm super happy to have him in the studio. We were just marveling at how wonderful and insane this studio is before we got on the airwaves. Anyways, without further ado, Isaac Powers, welcome to the Spec. How are you today, man?
Thanks so much. I'm doing pretty good. You know, keeping busy.
Yeah.
Trying to get out a little bit, do something fun and new to me. Not new to you, but new to me.
Yeah, I know. It was interesting because when Isaac and I first walked into the station, Isaac was like, "Whoa, this place is so cool." And I feel like I take that for granted sometimes. The people that haven't been to WMFO before, this is a really old college radio station, and there's stuff, there's art all over the walls, there's tons of old records, there's tons of cool old stuff, and you can just get lost in this station. So if you're a community member and you want to check it out sometimes, please do. But anyway, I ramble on. Isaac, again, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
Isaac and I we've been good friends since sophomore year. You were in the suite of some of my other good friends, shout out Ethan and David.
Shout
and
out.
We all became really good friends together in that Latin Way suite.
Yeah.
So yeah, now here we are. And you know, the thing that I always ask to start off the shows when I have a guest is, where are you from and what your upbringing was like, what's home for you, and then also when you first came to Boston, to Tufts, what that transition was like. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, totally. I'm from Tucson, Arizona. I like pretty standard upbringing, nothing too crazy, nothing too out there.
Cool.
But obviously very different temperature wise, like size wise, everything from Boston. So getting here was like a bit of an adjustment. It was obviously, when we get here, it's like the summer, so it was still pretty warm, but then like that, the first winter that we were here, we had those crazy blizzards and like,
yeah,
we got like snowed in for a couple of days. So that was like, that was totally bizarre to me. In Arizona, you get like year round, you get like a decent amount of sunlight. And that was cool. Probably the hardest adjustment was how dark it got, how early it got dark.
Dude, I've lived here in New England my entire life, and it gets old so quickly.
we're getting the hour back this weekend, right?
We are. We're springing forward tomorrow, exactly. So we're gonna get some more sunlight. That'll be nice. But Arizona doesn't do daylight savings, right?
No.
So this is a new phenomenon for you as well.
That was also a big. I mean, maybe not a huge transition because you only really notice it twice when you spring forward and when you lose the hour as well. But like, it's so weird. I mean, the big thing was calling people at home because the time difference just changes, or like trying to watch something that's on the West Coast. I guess it stays the same there, but like if I call my parents, for example, now it's 2 hours, but after this weekend, it'll be 3 hours.
Got to do what you got to do. But I guess that's the benefit and the downside of not having to deal with daylight savings. You get more. In Arizona, does that mean you have more sunlight throughout? How does that work?
I think it like evens out, but I mean, you have more sunlight because you're closer to the equator.
Anyways, I don't know how it works. I know they're arguing about it in Congress right now, but that's none of my business. But anyways, thank you for telling us a little bit about your life in Arizona. So, and how was that your first, you know, you talked a little bit about the weather aspect of first coming here, but how was the transition for college? I know you took a year off between high school and college. What was it like to ultimately come over to Somerville?
It was definitely a jump because I took that. So I took the gap year during COVID, which was like pretty light on doing things that were like academic or really particularly like, I don't know, rigorous or like required a lot of my attention. I went from pretty much a year of not doing a whole lot to all of a sudden I'm in college. I'm back to like taking classes, studying. It's like high school, but like maybe turned up a little bit or turned down a little bit depending on when. And then also just like reorienting myself to like meeting new people because I went to my high school had a middle school attached to it, so I went to that middle school. So a lot of people that I was friends with from high school, I'd known since like fifth grade, sixth grade. And then all of a sudden I was meeting a whole slew of new people after taking a year off of like meeting anybody.
Right.
Which was certainly challenging, but it ended up being fun and pretty interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, I see that. And yeah, that feels like a while ago now, that entire process of meeting a bunch of new people. And I've also been, you know, we're second semester seniors, thinking about that particularly recently and like what that's going to look like after college,
and
how that's going to, because we have this system built in to meet new people, to, you know, be on this campus where we're all walking around together and doing stuff together, but what's that gonna look like after this? It's a scary thought, but anyways, we'll all be doing it together in our respective areas. All right, as usual, guests bring on some music. Isaac has brought on a couple songs for us to listen through today. This first one, let's try to pronounce it, shall we?
I think you got that, Sam.
Pure de Fil. De Fi. By Les Impératrices.
L'Impératrice.
I apologize.
The whole thing is in French.
So why this song? What do you like about it?
I don't know. I wasn't really... When I was putting this list together... So I put this list together last night, and I wasn't really like... being super intentional. I was just like, what are songs that I like? And I wasn't ready for the why do I like it, but it's just, I think it's a good song, so
fine.
I hope you
perfect
enjoy.
So that this is that song that I'm not going to pronounce again, and I hope you all enjoy it. That song that I'm not going to pronounce again, but it was a banger. You really knew what you were talking about with that one. I like
thank it. Thank you.
Looking forward to the other ones. Anyways, I mean, one of the big things we talk about with all the guests that come on the show, most of the guests I have on the show are fellow Tufts students, and we're all involved in different things on campus, and it's always interesting to pick the guests' brain about what they're doing and what they spend their time doing on campus. One of your big activities here, Isaac, the big activity is fencing.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear more just about, like, first of all, how you first got interested in fencing, because we were talking about off air, like, I didn't have a fencing program in my high school. It sounds like you didn't really have one either.
Not at all.
First of all, where did this come from, this interest?
Well, so my first introduction to fencing was my sister. Around here, there are like a small collection, like I would say in the 5 to 10 range of like mm-hmm. fencing, like centers or clubs. And almost like a ton of schools have it, as like a varsity sport that you can mm-hmm. just like enroll in. You can show up, you can learn to fence at your high school. My high school didn't have like any sports in like any meaningful way. It was a charter school. Charter mm-hmm. school's a little weird. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really have like the opportunity or option to do like sports and like high school sports at my high school. So I had to find things outside. And my sister at some point, I want to say at like the beginning of high school, found a fencing center, maybe end of middle school. And she went for a little bit, and she really liked it. And I was looking for a new sport to try in, I think, my junior year of high school.
Yeah.
And I was like, she liked it, I'll try it. I tried it. I liked it. It was fun.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, what about it specifically? I mean, it feels like, you know, I mean, from the outsider's perspective, you know, similar to like sword fighting, but like it seems like the person who's actually doing it, there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
Intricacies like any sport. Can you tell me a little bit, tell me a little bit about the intricacies of fencing that the average Joe wouldn't know about it?
Yeah, I feel like the biggest intricacy is like timing. Like it's because it's a little harder. It feels like it's a little harder to watch if you haven't done it. Like how you time like your footwork, how you time like attacks,
yeah.
how you like, and there's also like a whole like strategy and like conversation with your
right.
opponent where it's like, how are they responding to what you're doing? Like, can you trick them? Can you like
the mental game?
Yeah, bait them
yeah.
into making some like action that
sure.
you would rather like that you know how to respond to or that you want to respond to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, and I think honestly that was a lot of what like was attractive about it to me, was that like mental aspect of it, like the like thinking part.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I'm sure there, and have you picked up, I mean, now you've been doing it multiple years, like what is something that recently that you learned about the sport that you picked up and you're like, wow, this added a whole new dimension to what I'm doing?
That's a tough question. I gotta think about that one.
I don't know. It can be maybe like an experience, like fencing with a particular opponent, something new that you, maybe a new skill you worked on. Like,
yeah. I feel like you pick things up. You're like, I feel like it's hard to pick like one big thing, but you pick up little things
mm-hmm.
both from fencing, like new people. Like every time you go, cause here, on the club team here, there are, about like 6 or 7 per weapon. And so you only fence about like 4 or 5 people regularly.
Yeah.
And pretty quickly you figure out like how they fence, how you mm-hmm. fence. But then every time you go to an event and you fence at a tournament, it's like you get to watch like a whole new set of people, or maybe the same set of people from the last tournament, but like
sure.
some new people. You get to fence people that you maybe haven't fenced before. You haven't fenced nearly as much. So you get to see like little differences in how they fence, or you're like, oh, like they're doing this and that's working against me, or I'm watching them do this and that's working against their opponent. Maybe I should try that next time. Mm. Something like that.
Gotcha. Wow. Interesting. And you're fencing over in, what is it, Jackson Gym over there?
Yeah,
and you got a lot of practices going over there.
It's in Jackson Gym.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a commitment. And do you think, lastly, and we'll bookend this conversation, is it something you think you'll keep doing after college? Are there ways to continue to fence?
It's a little tough. There are on the East Coast especially, there are a lot of clubs that accept or like that'll have open fencing and classes
yeah.
for people who are not like kids. But they're a little like it's a little expensive.
Right.
It's certainly, as a sport, has a pretty high like barrier to entry in terms of cost.
Sure.
But we'll see. I would love to. The hope is, because it's a good, I mean, it's a good way to stay active. It's something that I like doing. It's fun. It'll like make me want to move or whatever. So yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you for giving us a little look into the fencing world that I knew nothing about.
Yeah,
so,
I'm of course.
Glad this is why I love doing this, learning new things. Brooklyn Bridge 2 Chorus, The Strokes, and I've talked a lot about The Strokes on this show before, and, you know, their appearance in the Apple Music Top 100, which we can talk about later as well.
Oh, yeah.
But this is Brooklyn Bridge 2 Chorus by The Strokes. Tell me about this particular song.
So this song is from their most recent album, which is a very good album. If you haven't given it a listen. It's, I think, from during COVID or right before COVID. This to me was not a song that stuck out on my first listen, but like a couple listens later to the album, I was like, this is maybe one of my favorites, if not my favorite from the album. So yeah.
Great. I don't think I've listened to this one before, so I'm excited. Brooklyn Bridge to Chorus by The Strokes. Enjoy, everybody.
Oh, another day, oh, another song, oh, another.
Brooklyn Bridge to Chorus by The Strokes. I really like that one. I really did. I'm glad that you brought that one to the show. And, you know, as I was introducing The Strokes, it brought back the memory of this Apple Music top 100 albums of all time ranking that I've talked about on the show before, but I haven't mentioned that Isaac also joined in on this project that Ethan Dunn got started with last semester, this past summer, and you got a good ways into it,
like,
right?
50 albums in or something. Like, maybe like 45.
I got 36 here, but it's all right. We'll round up to like 40 or something.
Like 40 albums.
So, Isaac, let's just talk. I know it's been a little while since we've broken this whole thing down, but how about you talk about some of the albums you listen to, maybe your favorite, a surprise album of the ones you listen to?
Yeah.
And yeah, we just break it all down.
My favorite is the Strokes album, but that's just because I love the Strokes and they're like one of my favorite bands. Like, probably,
it's a good one.
Probably, like, yeah. But my biggest surprise was the Lord album, Pure Heroin. I hadn't really ever listened. Obviously, like, I knew some of the songs on that album, like, because they were huge radio hits, but I'd never really listened to the album, like, the full way through, cover to cover.
Right.
It's really good.
Yeah,
there
it really
are
is.
A lot of really, really good songs there, in there, and there aren't very many songs that, like, I felt like, man, this is, like, dragging on, or, like, I really don't want to be listening to this.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, every single song on the album, there was never a song, it's been a little while again since I listened to it, but there wasn't a single song where I was like, I want to skip this, I want to get through this. I mean, there's the big one, Royals, but Ribs was the big one for me.
Really good.
We both like Ribs a lot. I haven't listened to it in a little bit, but I super agree with that pick. Let's see. I'm gonna go down to the.
I remember. I listened to that album on a plane, and I was like, because I did a lot of listening to these on planes, like to and from home or wherever I was going.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that one. I was like, I was kind of interested to listen to it, but it was on a plane. I was like, I might fall asleep, like, just on the plane.
Yeah,
listen to it later. But I ended up really liking it, and I listened to songs for most of the plane ride, and then when I got home, a couple got added to different playlists and have become like more regular rotations. Another surprise for me was the Oasis album.
Okay,
What's the Story, Morning Glory?
Yeah,
Ethan Dunn, actually, big Oasis head.
Shout out,
big Oasis fan. He told me before I listened to it, he was like, I love this album, this is like one of my favorite albums, and I was like, I don't know, I'm not huge on Oasis. Everybody's heard Wonderwall. I think Wonderwall's a little annoying. But the rest of the album is pretty good. I liked it a lot. I was very surprised. I originally ranked it lower than I have it. I think of the 36 that I have, I think it's now
14th.
Yeah. I originally had it lower than that, but I felt like as I crept up the list, I was like, it just kept moving up.
Sure.
And I was very surprised. Also the Burial album, Untrue.
Yeah.
Another big surprise because I don't really listen
music,
to techno very
techno
much.
Or whatever. Yeah. That was one of the first ones I listened to, but I remember that one was surprising as well. And I was like, okay, I thought I was going in with the expectation that I was going to hate it. But no, there was something, I don't know, it awoke some emotion that I don't even have like a word for it. But there was something in there that physiologically opened up when that happened.
No, it was really good.
And to your point about Oasis, I mean, we can see how that band, The Strokes, how they all kind of influence each other.
Exactly.
And there is a common sound that I like in there, an upbeat, you know.
Right.
You know.
There's also...
Go for it sound.
Yeah, Oasis
like
is
about it.
Oasis is having a moment right now with the reunion tour and all of the Ticketmaster drama that just happened. And
oh,
people,
yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Well, I mean, I think ticket there were just not enough tickets. Ticketmaster marked everything up a lot. I think some tickets got canceled because they weren't sure if like shows were going to happen. But anyway, I don't know.
So anyways, this is a huge project that we were working on last summer and into the fall. And I'll continue to break it down with various people throughout the rest of the semester. And this actually leads nicely into the next song that you have, which is Nude by Radiohead.
Yeah.
Radiohead appeared multiple times on this top 100.
But not in Rainbows.
Nope.
So sad.
Nope, but any thoughts on Radiohead in general first, and then you can talk about why you like the song Nude.
Yeah, I love Radiohead. I like both the albums that are on the top 100 list. Personally, I like In Rainbows more than I like Kid A. I would have put In Rainbows in the top 100 and not put Kid A in the top 100.
If that was
an option. But yeah, this is one of my favorite songs from that album, from probably my favorite Radiohead album. Maybe not their best, but certainly my favorite.
Not an OK Computer guy?
No, I think probably that's their best album, but this album, In Rainbows, really just does something for me.
Yeah, I got to admit, I mean, I listened to those other two for the top 100, but I'll admit I wasn't very familiar with Radiohead in general before I did the top 100. So I haven't listened to much of In Rainbows. I'm excited to listen to this one. This is Nude by Radiohead.
Thank you.
That was Nude by Radiohead. Yeah, I see what you mean already just from one song from that album. It's different from the other ones, and I enjoyed that a lot. Anyways, it's everybody's favorite time of the show. You know what that means. It's PSA time. And Isaac has a good one, a time-sensitive PSA.
Absolutely.
For us today. Very timely. Please take it away.
All right. Tonight is Balkan Music Night.
Tonight.
Saturday, March 8th at 6 p.m. Balkan Music Night is the Boston area's premier event devoted to the exciting and soulful repertoires of traditional music and dance from Southeastern Europe. The 36th annual Balkan Music Night will be held on March 8th, featuring music, dance, and dance from Bulgaria, Greece, Macedonia, Romania, Serbia, Turkey, and more, performed by master musicians and bands from near and far. With performances of lively instrumental music and expressive vocal music, you'll be able to listen and dance to music from all corners of the Balkans and beyond. Light refreshments, dance instruction, and dance performances are part of the fun. It all starts at 6 p.m. at the Arts at the Armory, Somerville, Massachusetts. For more details and to purchase tickets, go to balkanmusicnight.com.
So this is just once a year. This is the only iteration of this event that I could go to. Man.
Yeah.
All right.
You get one chance this year. And then you have to wait until March 8th next year for the 37th annual Balkan Music.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the annual part.
No, it is annual, gotcha. But you have to be, if you want this Balkan music, if you want these performers, from near and far.
Near and far.
So wow. Who knows? Maybe it won't be the same people back for 37.
Huh? Well, honestly, if I had nothing else going, I have a show tonight, but if I had nothing else going on, why not check it out? Anybody listening, check it out. Shout out the show, Cabaret, everybody. I talked about it last weekend. We don't need to get into it. Anyway, thank you for a lovely reading of the PSA today, Isaac. Now, let's talk a little bit about your, I don't want to call it academic interest. That sounds boring. But your passion for architecture, which coincides with some of your studies at Tufts.
Yeah.
You want to just talk a little bit about, like, because as someone who, you know, looks at a building and I'm like, where do I even start with this thing? Architecture. Yeah. Why architecture?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to pinpoint, like, exactly why. But both of my parents are architects. I kind of just, like, grew up. We would go on trips and there would be, like, oh, let's go see this building or let's go see that building, which, like, as a young kid is, like,
yeah,
not really necessarily what you're like super interested in. You're like, oh, let's go to the, when you're a kid, you're like, let's go to the children's museum. Let's go to like a, and we did all that too. But also, there was like, they would be like, oh, like, let's go look at this building. Like if we're in LA, let's go look at this cool thing or that cool thing. So it's like, it's kind of been there for as long as I can remember. When I started at Tufts, I was a math major with an art history minor.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just like, I thought that was going to stick. I liked math. I still like math. But the art history department, so at Tufts, the history of art and architecture department has two majors within it, or technically three majors, but really two majors. It has art history and it has architectural studies. You can also do architectural studies in the engineering department, but you have to like be in the engineering department.
Yeah.
Anyway. So if you want to just study art history, you can do that. You can take like all the like standard art history classes, learn to write about art history, learn to do like formal analysis of like paintings and stuff. Which is cool and it's fun. And a lot of the classes that I took where I did that were really interesting. Junior fall, I ended up taking a class in the art history department, just like as an elective to try it out, that was called Drawing to Building, which had a more architecture focus, not even necessarily from a history perspective, but like from like a design perspective, where you essentially the format of the class is you get like some famous building as a precedent and you like learn to draw sections and elevations and plans, and then the end you like translate it, like you make some like decision, like you change something about the building or like Yeah, and that class ended up being really fun. I liked that class a lot. And so I ended up adding architectural studies as a major in place of the art history major, and all the classes I've taken in it since have been awesome. Really
awesome.
Fun.
Yeah. Excellent. So and let's backtrack a little bit for a second. You were mentioning growing up, you saw like your parents with both architects taking you to see buildings in different cities around the country, around the world. Was there a particular moment, a particular building, something that comes to mind when you think of, man, this is just exactly the type of architecture that I love. This is perfect. This really struck me.
The first time that I think that I got it, the first time where like we went to see something and I was like, I get it. Like, I understand why we're going to see these things was, and this could have been a combination of the building and like my age. I was 13. We were in France for my sister's graduation.
Mm-hmm.
That was like as a graduation present. And we went to, the Villa Savoye, which is a house outside of Paris, like 40 mm-hmm. minutes outside of Paris. And it was really cool. And I remember, most architecture that has become kind of like a museum like this has like some sort of like little attraction. This thing had like a foosball table, which I liked a lot because I was like 13. And I still have one of the foosballs, in my room, but I remember getting it. I was like, this is cool. This is like, not like other things that I've seen. This is nicer than other things that I've seen.
Sweet. Sweet. So in terms of, you know, taking those experiences of, you know, studying architecture, now you study it, looking at architecture, studying it at Tufts, is there, you know, we're poaching graduation. Do you see, I mean, who knows if we have the answers to this, but is like architecture, being an architect in some specific area, something that you can see yourself really pursuing as a career? Do you think math is going to be, I mean, math coincides with architecture too. And like, what where do you see your love for architecture fitting in the rest of your life?
I mean, hopefully as a career. Those are currently what I'm applying to jobs and internships in architecture firms. But I definitely, I'm not like, I wouldn't say I'm like dead set where it's like, yes, I know 100% I'm going to graduate, work for a little bit, and then like go to a master's program and then be an architect. The hope is graduate, work for a bit, like figure it out.
Sure.
Make sure that this is something that I really, really do love spending my time doing. And then from there, like go to graduate school or whatever.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about also your senior, is it called a thesis, a project?
It's a capstone.
Capstone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've seen some of the designs, early conceptions of it. tell the audience about what this thing looks like.
So it's for my capstone, I am designing a remodel of Lane Hall, which is a building on Tufts campus. Mm. It's currently kind of vacant. It is the Earth and Life Sciences, or Earth and Ocean, I don't remember. Earth and Climate Sciences, thank you. Yeah. Earth and Climate Sciences Department. It was like the geology department, which became that.
Yeah.
It currently is like being emptied as the Earth and Climate Sciences Department moves from there to Bromfield Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what the plans are for the future of the building, but it's certainly dated. It was built in, I believe, the early 50s. And it hasn't really had, like, it's had work done inside to make it usable for like modern, geology, I guess.
Yeah.
But it, other than that, is mostly about the same. So I don't know what the future holds for Lane. This is just like a reimagination of Lane.
What's one aspect of your reimagination that I think the audience would find?
Oh, I don't know. One aspect. Well, okay. So, the big like thing that I'm doing is, cutting holes in the walls of Lane so you can like see in, people can see out. Because
rip
right
it
now,
out.
Yeah, exactly.
It like, is. It needs it.
but yeah, so, that's the guiding principal at the moment.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if any building on this campus needs a facelift, I think it's Lane Hall. We need more architects like yourself that are making this thing act. Who knows? Maybe they'll take your advice. Maybe it'll actually happen.
Yeah, Tufts University. hit me up.
You'll be back. That'll be your first professional
Tufts University. I am currently in search of employment. If you need somebody to do that for you, specifically redesign Lane for you. I'm your guy.
Yeah, maybe they're listening out there.
Don't ask about my qualifications or like
Isaac Powers on Lane Hall. Like that. But make it happen. Yeah. Make it happen.
Somebody hit me up.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Well, thank you for telling us about your love for architecture. Best of luck in the future with everything related to that. Instant Crush.
Yeah.
Daft Punk. I know this one.
Yeah.
But tell us why you like this one.
Well, we listened to a Stroke song earlier. I think my love for Julian Casablancas is pretty strong. I would never, but this is a Daft Punk song with Julian Casablancas on it. It's like, for me, it's a little bit of the first song with a little bit of the second song together. It kind of has like the French, like electronic-y inspired Daft Punkness and some of the Strokes to it. Sick. As well.
Well, if you don't know this song, you're about to know it. You better know it. Instant Crush, Daft Punk, Julian Casablancas. Hope you enjoy.
I'm not afraid to
Instant crush. Daft Punk, Julian Casablancas. I think that's my favorite Daft Punk song.
It's a classic.
It's so good. Great pick. We're coming towards the end of the program today, everybody. This is The Spec, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Before we get out of here, we just want to do a quick little exercise, and I'll call this, it's a new segment called Favorites, period.
Oh.
Isaac, we just watched the 97th Academy Awards last Sunday, and I know we were talking off air a little bit about movies you want to watch, movies you've seen. You want to just run through maybe your picks for maybe like a pick of a movie you new movie you really liked, and a pick for something you want to see that's new.
Yeah, I want to see Flo.
The
animated feature winner,
the cat
with the cat. The cat's cute. I've heard it's good. It's just like the animation's pretty. I feel like what more can you really ask for?
I love it. And shout out first Oscar from Latvia,
Latvian Oscar.
Maybe, I don't know. But fact check.
I think that's true.
Yes, great pick. And what's one that you saw recently that you, it doesn't even have to be like came out this year. Just a movie you saw recently that you really liked.
Well, let's see. Some people were watching Alien at my house last night. Alien's a good movie. I watched Porco Rosso recently. Studio Ghibli. About a pig flies a plane. Pretty cool movie.
Cool.
Great. That's
sick.
That's what I got.
Sick. Well, thank you for the little exercise in favorites, period. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. It's been Isaac. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
It's been a blast. Yeah. I'm glad I finally was able to get you on
in
this last semester of The Spec. Again, hope everybody's doing well out there. Please follow at Spec Radio on Instagram. That's at SPEC Radio on Instagram if you haven't already. Lots of cool stuff coming up that I'm not going to reveal right now.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's going to be great.
Tune in.
Tune in, please. Exactly. You know, Isaac's going to be tuning in.
Yeah.
You should tune in, too.
Exactly.
It's going to be a little bit of a break here the next couple weeks because it is the tough spring break. You're going to,
Italy,
which That's is exciting. Incredible. Super I'm going exciting. To New Orleans and Miami.
Yeah.
It's going to be an insane spring break, but I am excited for a little time off, but I'm also excited to get back to the show after that. So in the meantime, hope everybody's doing well. Enjoy the extra sunlight tomorrow, and we will see you soon. Bye, everybody.
feel tired.